is an interview with Sylvia Ebner for the Grass College Holocaust Oral History Archive. And I am Gloria Schwartz. Sylvia, thank you for doing this interview
today.
You're
very welcome.
Would you please give us the place where you were born and the date, and tell us a little bit about your family life?
Okay. And my name is Sylvia Ebner, and my maiden name was Sylvia Klein. And I come from Hungary. We live in a little town in Hungary. The name is Bodrog Kisfalud. It's a long name, but a little town. Four Jewish families lived in the town where I live. And I had a brother who was 15 and a half when they took us away. He was in a big city where he went to Hebrew and Hungarian school. He lived there for already, but he come home for vacation and summer vacation, but he was in that school already for 5 years because my father want him to have better education, Hebrew and Hungarian. He was taken away right from there with all the boys. It was a boys' school. I never heard from him after that.
Do you know the name of the town?
Yes. He was in a big city, Kosha. Košice was in Czechoslovakia, but later become Hungary, so they call it Kassa. It was a big city. And we have some relatives there too, so my mother figured it would be close to her relatives and in a good school. My father begged him to come home March 19, when the German come in. They occupied Hungary. And my father begged him, come home, be with us. And he said, no, Daddy, I cannot go home. What would I do in that little village? And I want to finish my education first. He didn't figure they took us away, but my father want us to be together, but he don't want to come home. He come home for Christmas vacation, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Every vacation he come home during summer, he was with us for certain weeks, and he went back to learn more Hebrew at summertime.
What type of education did you have?
They took me away at the ninth grade. I didn't have a chance to finish ninth grade.
Okay, did you have any type of Jewish education?
Yes, I was at the same city for only one year in a Hebrew school, because my mother and my father want me to have some more Hebrew knowledge. And that was a Hungarian Hebrew, that was a regular school, boys and girls school. So I was there only 1 year. And after that was 150 miles away from us, and after that, I wanted to go home to be with mommy. I was mother girl. I don't want to go back no more. And I have friends where we went to, it wasn't a Catholic school, it was like a regular school, not a Catholic school. How you call it?
Like a public school?
Public school, yeah, but there was a lot of Jewish kids. Mm-hmm. So when I went to the third grade, we walked in 2 miles just because mother and father want us to be with Jewish kids together. Mm-hmm. First and second grade, I went to Catholic school because in my little village was only Catholic school. And I couldn't walk the 2 miles. But the minute I was able to walk, my brother become third grade and I become third grade and my brother become fourth. Then we walked in 2 miles. Every day, back and forth. We took our lunch with us, not like other children lived in not so far like us.
Were there many Jews in your village?
No, we just have 4 Jewish families.
And what were the relations with the non-Jewish neighbors?
Our neighbors was very nice comparing to the rest of the villages. Our neighbors know my parents, my own father, the grandfather too, and they respect them, and they were really nice to us. But the next village, when we walked in, we have a hard time to walk in, because all right, juice, give me candy, my father have a store. And they figured I can bring candy for them. But how I bring the candy for them? What I get from my father every night, he worked with us, teach us, and if we know our lesson, he give us a piece of chocolate, a small piece, reward us. And my father didn't know it. I didn't eat it, and my brother didn't eat it, because we cannot go into school. The kids, they were bugging us, okay, Jews, give us candy. And there was only one road where we have to go through, and that corner, they were always waiting for us for the candy. And we give the candy for them, then we can go further. But when you close it, I tell you further that story. I don't want to tell here what was the end of this story. Can you close it, please?
Sylvia, you were going to tell an incident that happened walking to school and that involved the candy.
Yes. My father learned teach us every night, instead of having a tutor, you cannot even get a tutor, so my father was teaching us every night, taking over the lesson. And whenever we know our lesson or the timetable, he always give us a piece of candy or a piece of chocolate. That was the reward. But we didn't eat the candy or the chocolate, because when we go in 2 miles and one of the corner, we must pass that road where we have to go to school, and the kids, the boys, were standing and waiting for us. Sylvie Tibby, give me your candy. And if we didn't give our candy, they would run after us with stone, and they were stoning us, and we have to run our heart out to run faster than they can reach us with the stone. One night, we didn't know our lesson, and we don't have no candy to take, because my father only reward us if we know our lesson. And he didn't give us candy because we didn't know our homework. And we look at each other with my brother, what we gonna give now for the kids if they gonna come. All right, kids, all right, Jews, where's the candy? And we always give it to them, but this time we don't have the candy, and we start to run. They take the stones, whatever stone was, they were running after us, they want to stone us. So one day we don't have the candy, and I said to my father, and my brother said, we cannot go to school. Why can't you go to school? You're not sick. Yes, we're not sick, but we don't want to tell you, every morning we have to give the candy for those kids. Otherwise we cannot pass by, because they're running after us. All right, Jews, give me your candy. And why have you don't give us candy tonight? We cannot go to school. And my father said, okay, look, I tell you one thing. You have to take care of yourself. I can't be always with you. I can be never with you when you grow up. You have to learn how to take care of yourself. Here is a piece of stone. He gave us a piece of stone. But my brother don't want to take it in his hand. No way. No way. He said to me, Sylvie, you're going to take it in your hand? Hold it this way. And when they ask, give me your candy, instead give him the candy, punch up his, how you call this?
Chin.
Punch up his chin with this stone. They have to learn once and for all. Jews or not Jews you are, they don't gonna get your candy because they were not working for it. You learn for it. Tonight you don't know your lesson, you have no candy, and you're gonna go to school. We were shaking in our boots, especially my brother. He was not a fighting type. I never fight myself either, but maybe I can run faster like my brother did when they were throwing the stone. And I did it. We went to that corner. We come to that corner. It was about a mile away from my house. And when they asked the candy, I punched up his chin and was bleeding. I myself get afraid because now they're really going to kill us. We were running like crazy to school. But how are we going to go home? How are we going to go home? Because we have to take the same road to go home. There was no telephone I should call my father. Europe, there was no telephone. How can I tell my father? We went all around, you know, other road, maybe other 2 miles, to not to pass by to this corner. When I went home, I said to my father, I did it, but I'm sorry, it was bleeding. So my father said, next time they will know not to hit you or hurt you. They have no right to hit you or hurt you. But afternoon, I saw the Joe mother and Joe come into my house. And he asked, Mr. Klein, why did Joe hurt my son? He called me in. My father called me in. And although I don't want to do it, but my father said, you must take care of yourself. I can't be with you every step in your life. If you won't hurt him, you're going to learn your lesson. I'm going to hurt you. So I had no choice. I just have to hurt him. And I explained it why I was hurting Joe. Because he was running all the time after us. Jews, give me your candy, him and the rest of the boys. And I have no candy that night because I didn't know my lesson. And the mother of the Joe mother, he was shocked, she was shocked. And she took Joe's hand and she asked him, is it true? Yes, they didn't give me the chocolate. That's why we run after them all the time, because I want the chocolate. The mother of this Joe, take this child, and I am telling you, with all her might, she spanked this, her son Joe, as hard as she can. And she said to him, why you do that? Sylvie have the right to do it, and I don't you dare come to cry for me. She was right, and I don't want to hear it again. And I'm sorry, Mr. Klein, my son did that. And my father said, I understand it's not your fault. You never teach him. I know you very well. But the kids teach each other. And everything was okay after. Next time they don't ask no more candy from us, we pass by. Never again they ask candy from us. Because they were afraid they're going to get it. Yes.
Did you have any friends in the class that were non-Jews?
Oh, yes. I have a lot of friends in the classroom who are very nice. I have a lot of friends in my town, because all my friends from the Catholic school, first and second grade, they were all my friends, and they were very nice. In the town itself, there were some of them who wasn't too nice. For instance, my father speaks German at that time, and there was across the street a neighbor who the mother was very nice and everybody was very nice, except the son, whom my father gave him lesson because he went high school already and always come to Mr. Klein to help him with the German. And my father always helped him with his lesson. One Friday night, we were just ready to close the store because we were religious. And we closed the store. We pulled down the shade. There was shade from steel. And this Joe came and he said, Mr. Klein, what's that mean, kaput? And my father said, you know, Joe, what's that mean, kaput? You know that word. Yes, I know, but what do you mean, but? I just come from the next town, and we had a big river there across the street of the pasture. And there was a Jewish kid who was coming from the Hebrew school. He couldn't go home to Tokay, so he come down where we lived. That was 8 miles on the pasture. And the Germans, they went and they shoot him through the big river. They were playing who can shoot. 10 soldiers was shooting the Bucher. And they said, it's kaput. That's why I tell you kaput. And my father said nothing, because he can't tell you, should have shamed yourself to come and tell me this way. But that's the way he let us know the German shooting the Jews under their town. And we went to school, in that elementary school, regular elementary school. And I was at the 9th grade. We went out for recess. And the bell was ringing, one of the principal, actually, not the teacher, the principal said, Jewish kids gonna make a line here, and the Christian kids gonna make a line this way. The Christian kid went into the classroom, all. We, all the Jewish kids were standing in line from 1st grade till 9th grade. There was no teacher who would teach us. Not one of the teachers would volunteer to teach us. And we were standing there till lunchtime. And finally, one of the teachers, who was a Russian descent, we find out that time. We didn't know that he's a Russian descent. He said, I'm gonna teach you. And he teach the 9th class from 1st grade. We went in all the Jewish kids in that one classroom. And this teacher was the only one who took us and teach us. The rest of the teacher, they don't want to teach us, they don't want to talk to us, nothing. When we went in to this classroom, all the kids, then we realized that we are Jews, really Jews. They hate us. If they don't want to teach us, that means they hate us. There was not one teacher, just this man. And he explained it to us, he's a Russian descent. And he knows what that means, to be not a pure Hungarian, because he was a Russian descent. And I'm going to teach you. But what I'm going to teach you, remember, but good. I expect you to learn. And he started to teach us. I still remember what he teach us. That was the first lesson. He said, we human beings have brain. In Hungarian, they call it different way. We have ace. Ace means brain. But animal has no ace, no brain. They just have östön. They have sense. They will remember for 15 minutes what you tell them. And you have to repeat and repeat and repeat. That's the only time they're going to remember. That was the first time I heard that story. I never knew it, because we live in the town and we always have dogs, but I was never thinking they have no ace, they have no brain. You know, that's the time, that was the first lesson that he teaches. And then one day before Easter, we cannot go no more from one village to the next. And this village was where I went to school, the next village. So I cannot go no more school, because Jews were not allowed to go from one village to the next village. And we have to put out the yellow star. Then we know who was our friend in my town, in my little town. They were spitting on us, 30 Jews, from my own friend, some of them. My own friend, when we put out when we have to put on the yellow star. Then we really find out who was my friend, who was my real schoolmate.
Was that in April 1944?
That's right. That was April 1944. The German come in March 19th. Mm-hmm. But the minute they come in, we cannot go no more from one village to the next. We were closed into our home, and then they took us to the ghetto.
And where was the ghetto?
Sátoraljai Újhely. Okay.
What?
That was about 50 miles from us where we lived. But that was exactly one next day after our Jewish Easter. Next day.
Passover?
And Passover, right after our Passover. But at Passover, my uncle wasn't home, he was in labor camp, and my three aunt was there. And a little girl was 8 years old, the name is Kathy. And they want to hear the Seder. But how they going to hear the Seder? My uncle was in the labor camp. One of my aunt husband was in the labor camp. The little girl father was in the labor camp. So we walked down about a mile where my aunt live. And we had the Seder at their house. Because we don't want all of them to walk to our place. It's very funny when all the Jews coming to one place. My father went first. Then I went. My brother wasn't home. My brother was in that city. And then my mother further away from me, like we don't walk together. And then we went into the house, to my aunt's house. And we had the Seder. We cried through all night. My father said all the Seder, but we cried through all night because we were so much of afraid they're going to come in, the German going to break down the door. Mm-hmm. And I was at that time 14 and a half year old. And I never saw my father crying in my life. But that time I saw my father and my mother crying. I couldn't really pick it up so fast. How come my father cry? Is it really so bad? But I was shaking because that time we cannot walk from one village to the other. I cannot go to school and I was afraid. I know it's something going to happen. And we finished up the Seder and we walked home. It was still cold and I was freezing and shaking till we don't go into the house. It was nice, the moonlight night. It was such a beautiful moonlight night. And I was so much of afraid I couldn't wait till I go into the house, to my house. And finally I didn't ask my father or my mother. I don't want to ask my father or my mother why they were crying, because I know why they were crying, but I couldn't figure out how come. This was so horrible if my father cried and my mother cried. Then comes Saturday. It was between one Saturday, because Pesach is 8 days. And came one Saturday and my mother stayed home. Me, my father and me, we went down to see aunt, how my aunt and my three aunt was, three girls, three women and a little girl. So afternoon we went down with my father, and when we come home my mother was shaking and she don't know what to do. What happened, Mom? I asked. The German came in and they pick up one of the bed from our bedroom. There was like here the two bed but goes together with the little things clinched together. They pick up one bed and take it away. And my mother was afraid they even gonna kill her because they went in, Jews, give me your furniture. So my mother figured everything gonna take. But they took one bed, only one bed, for themselves. Somebody wanna sleep in a bed. And they took my mother bed. And I was a child, but I was so much of afraid. I was so shaky, they're going to come again and they're going to do something.
What had happened to your father's store in the meanwhile? Was he able to still operate?
At the meantime, we were operating, but we Jews, we were not allowed to sell flour, sugar, petroleum. None of the Jew store was able to sell all this stuff. And the meantime, people go to shop. They don't want to shop this and my store, the rest of the thing, because they're going to go where they can buy the salt and everything. But my father was have to go back. He just come home. He was a labor camp too. My father was in the labor camp. And 2 weeks before Easter, they let him come home.
Do you know the name of the camp?
No.
Or where it was located?
It was in Hungary. Mm-hmm. It was in Hungary at that time. And I was so happy when my father come home. And that's mean we have somebody with us, a man. My brother wasn't home. My mother and me was attending the store. And we were struggling because, as I said, the business wasn't going at all. We have a garden, a big fruit garden, that my father put all the trees in, apples and all kind of trees. Actually, we live on our own fruit and our whatever it we can pick up from the garden. That's what we were living, but that was already winter time. So we saved, my mother saved some apple and some beans and potatoes. So we lived on that because the business wasn't going and we couldn't live just what we have at the house because my father was in the labor camp. 2 weeks before Pesach, he come home. Yeah, I was so happy. Nothing could happen with me no more. My father is home. When my father was home, I felt so assured. When my father was in the labor camp, I was so much of afraid. We closed the door. Even nobody was coming in at that time because Hungarian people, the neighbors, they don't go to steal from one another, you know. But we were always afraid maybe some stranger gonna come. Mm-hmm. But when my father come home, I was so relieved my father is home and nothing could happen with me because he wanted to take care of us. He was a very strong man. He was a very strong man. He teach us to stand our 2 feet, don't walk like a schlamir. When we went on the ice, I remember my father said, stop. I said, why should I stop? Walk, don't crawl, walk. Stand up on your 2 feet and keep your head up. Don't walk like a schlamir. He always taught us to be strong, not to be afraid from nobody. Don't hurt nobody, but don't be afraid from nobody.
Was he taken to the labor camp right after the Germans came in the middle of March?
No, years before already. He was a soldier before. He was a soldier before. And then when become to be, not the German wasn't there yet, but the lot of SS, Hungarian SS was, lot of gendarmes, lot of, they don't let the Jews to go to be soldiers. They put them to the labor camp. And they were digging ditches and that's all what they were doing, working hard. They were not allowed to have the pistol or anything, just the shovel.
So can you tell me when this was?
That was in 1944, 1940, beginning already 1942, they didn't give Jews the pistol, they just gave the shovel, that's all, and they only labor camp, working like horses, digging ditches, fixing airport and everything.
Were you aware of what was happening in Europe?
Actually, I wasn't aware. I was too young to understand, and I lived all my life in that little village. And I love my friends, their friends love me, who were close by. The rest of them later on, they show me I am a Jew, who was further, lived further up. They were throwing stone on us and spit on us, Jews, dirty Jews, dirty Jews. And I figured to myself, what that means, dirty Jews? I am not dirty, I wash myself every morning. Even so, we have no bathroom. We just have a little room where we wash ourselves from a dish. But then I said to myself, they don't mean dirty, they mean just because I'm a Jew. You know, just because, but not my close friends. My close friend was very nice. They were very nice. But those who really don't know so close to me, you know, then they know I am Jew. And then when we have to wear the star, the Jewish star, you know, then they wake up.
Were there any Jewish organizations for youth?
No. There was no youth organization. There was nothing, nothing. It was a little town, and the next town, we have Hebrew school where only the boys went to school. My father taught me Hebrew, to read Hebrew.
Okay, I'd like to get back to the ghetto. You said you were moved to the
ghetto? Wait a minute. This time it was right after Easter, after Pesach. The next day, since I was the little girl who helped my mother, we were washing the dishes, and my mother told me, do a good job, because a year is too long, and my grandmother used to say, a year is too long, and you don't know who's going to take it off, and I don't want them to say that was you were not doing a good job. And I said to myself, when my mother said, God knows who's going to take it off, what my mother mean, who going to take it off? What, why we don't take that off? You know, I wasn't thinking they're going to take us away. I wasn't thinking of that. We won't stay there in the house. And all of a sudden came morning, and we washed the dishes, and we have to go on steps to bring it to the attic.
This is side two of the interview with Sylvia Ebner.
Okay, so I washed the dishes, dried it, and I went to the step ladder. How high? It was high, the attic, not like here, the attic. We have step ladder, you have to go up high. And I bring up the dishes, and I just came down, I was at the step ladder, and I saw my Aunt Olga come in and fall in the... We have the sukkah. That was the summer kitchen. The sukkah was our summer kitchen.
Okay?
And the stepladder was stand on the in the sukkah when we go to the attic. And I saw she fall in. I said, what happened? You know, what happened? I get scared. She was 26 years old. And my father went and take a dish, pour the cold water on her, and finally she come to herself. She said, make some food right away, because the next time Jews, they were picked up and they just marched front of our house with the gendarme. They were the gendarme taking all the Jews from the next town, and they gonna come for us any minute, but if you have some food, put up fast. But we cooked with the regular stove, not gas. We have wood stove, and my mother got so nervous what to cook, what to do. We have some leftover, you know, at least put it and warm it up and eat it. And we have a fruit garden, and every time when the fruit fall down, my mother cut it up to pieces and dried it. I'm sorry. My mother cut up the fruit and dried it, and that was for winter time, you know. We have mother went and put a dish full of up with those dry fruit and cooked it, and we have some leftover. But bake, you have no time to bake, they said. My aunt said, you have no time to bake, because I saw they carried just as much what they can carry on their back. That was around 9:30, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, the gendarme come.
And let's go, Juice. Let's go, let's go. What do you mean, let's go? I said to myself. Where would we go? Well, what do you mean, let's go? Where do you want to take me? But I was afraid to ask. The gendarme was not like here, the police. They were with how you call that? Feather on their head. And they know us. They know us because they, every time they come to check the store, it is clean or not. This time they don't know us no more. They don't want to know us no more. But when they come to check the store, years before 42, that time was Mr. Klein. This time they, let's go, Jews, let's go. And I said, where will we go? Pick up what you can pick, fast. Put it on your back. We have no valise. In Europe, there was no valise. We live in a little town. How are you going to take that few things? Take fast whatever you can carry, that's all you can take. First thing was the bedding. That was the first thing. You have to take bedding, because that's what my father said, let's pick up some bedding. And let's pick up the food what we have. But my father said, even if we pick up the beans and the potatoes and the flour, where are we going to cook it? So we didn't pick up any beans and any potatoes, just what we have ready and a couple of things that we can carry with us. My mother was carrying the bedding in Europe. There we had different bedding, like here, the heavy bedding with the goose down cover. You know, it wasn't bedding like here. Those blankets, those light things, it was heavy. So my mother put it on her back and my father put it on his back. And I carry what I carry in my two hands, dishes. My father said, shall we take dishes? You know, yes, take some dishes. Okay, and if we can't carry dishes, then we have to take some food, potatoes or something. So we carry whatever we could. They took us, put us up. There was already a horse and buggy in front of our house. And they said, up on the horse and buggy, on the carriage. And we went up. Well, where are they going to take us? We figured, you know, the station was just about maybe 400 steps from us. But no, they took us to the third town with the carriage, because in the meantime we pick up all the Jews from my town and the next town, and then they took us at the third town. We pick up all the Jews around. Everywhere was carriages already, you know, and they put us up on the carriage. We went about two blocks from my house, from our house, two blocks. And I look back, I have a beautiful little dog. I always love animals. I love dogs and cats. Even here I have, for 32 years, I have cats and dogs all the time. And I look back and my little dog was running after us. As fast as he can with his little foot, he was running after us, after the carriage, because I left her there. And I said to my mother, why don't you stop and pick up Morsha? Her name was Morsha. Itty bitty. That's why I have pity here in my house, because her name was itty bitty, means Morsha. That's why I have here Morsha. And that was my dog name. And When I looked back, I saw my little dog running after us, and I saw people are going in to our yard. I asked my mother, Mother, why are they going in to our yard? We have a big yard, a long yard, with fruit trees and everything. Why are they going in? She said to me, honey, don't look back. Don't look back. My mother knew it, why they went in. They went in already to steal. The minute we were already in the second corner of the house, it was a long street, you know. And my mother know it, they went in to steal. But she don't want to tell me. The last minute I never forget, she said to me, put this on the, we have those closets. those furniture, the long furniture, where we keep our closet, our bedding nicely, we iron it, and everything was my mother put it, everything nicely to make it sure it's straight. And she said to me, Sylvie, fix this up because that doesn't look good. When we look back, already they were going running in, and my mother know why they running in. And they took us to my end place from my house. They took us to my aunt's place, they pick up my aunt and my little cousin. Then we went to the next town, there was one Jewish family. There was one Jewish family, they picked up that family. And we go to the third village, where they picked up the third village, about 10 or 12 carriage was already. Where they picked up all the Jews and the people, you know. We have a carriage. We were in one carriage. My aunt was in the other carriage, you know. And in the meantime, while we were going on the carriage, the male lady came, and she was running after us. Mrs. Klein, I have a letter from your son. And she give the letter for my mother, because she know that my mother was always waiting for the letter. She was a nice lady. And she was the male lady. She was carrying the mail. And she said, Mrs. Klein, here is a letter from your son, because she knows that my mother was always waiting the letter from her son. That was the last letter that my mother got from my brother. My mother and my father was with us too. Thank God my father was there, because I figured, no, nobody can hurt me because my father is there. Then they took us to that third village. I never know the neighbors, only one of them, Hubek, one of the young lady who was later on my sister-in-law, who became my sister-in-law later on when we both come back from the concentration camp. We were together. They took us first to the ghetto. Where would they put us in the ghetto? I heard the ghetto they were talking, but I couldn't figure it out what is ghetto, you know. There, only on the road we heard that they're going to take us to the ghetto. What is ghetto? The ghetto was that where was fenced in one of the neighborhood. The most Jewish, that was the most Jewish neighborhood in Shatoroya we had. That was a city. And they bring us in to one of the Jewish house, and there was the kitchen, not bigger than this kitchen, like we are here. My aunt, Böschke, Cornel, Olga, and her little girl, 8, and the 3 of us, was laying on the, there, that's gonna be our room, kitchen. That's where we were sleeping. On the, there was no linoleum, there was wood floor. At least it wasn't so cold like the linoleum. But that time it was after Easter in Hungary, it's no more cold. It's not hot, but it's not so cold. But where are you going to go to the toilet? Toilet wasn't there. It was a big, big house. And it was one toilet in the middle of the yard. In the middle of the yard was one toilet. That's where the whole house, that was the whole house there, from the with Jewish people. I never forget when somebody wanted to come in the kitchen at night from the rest of the rooms, or this has two bedroom, a corridor, even the corridor where people laying, because they pushed in as much Jews as much they can in one house. And my mother said, stand up, middle of the night. What do you mean stand up? Because they want to make warm something for the kids. So I have to stand up, otherwise they would step on you. There was no room. There was no room there. So we have to stand up till they make it warm, and then we go back to, not the bed, on the floor. We were there for, my aunt wasn't there. My aunt and, not this aunt. This aunt was there. This three aunt was there. But later on, they took my three aunt and my cousin and she find a better place in other Jewish house, where the kids, you know, they were trying, the Jewish people, they were trying to give more room for the kid. It was 18 old, the kid was 18 old. And my other aunt was, who daughter is here in Great Neck, Long Island. They were in the synagogue on the floor, staying in the synagogue on the floor. That's where they were living.
How long were you in this, house?
In this house, we were there for about 4 weeks. About 4 weeks we lived there like that. And what we eat, I don't know. Don't ask me what I eat, because I can't remember back. How I eat, what I eat, I just can't remember. It's washed out completely.
Did people just stay in the house they were assigned to all day?
No, we can go to the yard. To the yard, because that was a big house there, and we were in the yard. And we can go on the ghetto, we visit our aunt. Me and my cousin, we visit our friend, our aunt, where she lived. Also in the ghetto, that was a ghetto, it was the same street, you know, mm-hmm. The same neighborhood. You cannot get out from the ghetto. It was impossible to get out from the ghetto.
Were there any activities organized for the children?
Nothing. Absolutely. One dress I have and one dress I took. Because you cannot carry so much, you know. And then about 4 weeks later, they picked us up from there, they make it smaller, the ghetto. They bring all the Jews in the synagogue, there was a big synagogue there, and they bring all the Jews in the synagogue, closer and closer, closer to the synagogue, whoever was no room in the synagogue, by laying on the ground, on the synagogue ground. And one afternoon, but how, what I eat there, I can't remember. Would you believe it? I can't remember. He said, only once I remember, we ate, my mother made some cholent in the bakery. We have to bring it to the bakery, and I went with her to the neighborhood there. Was a bakery, and we picked them up, and it was so delicious, that cholent, like I never in my life eat. Every Saturday we had cholent, but it was, you know, wasn't interesting.
And the Germans did not provide any food?
No food provided, nothing. I have long hair with braided, that time was the style, braided hair for teenagers. And I was blonde all over, blonde, very blonde. My father said in the ghetto, we have to cut down your hair, because I don't want the buju, they call it the tick. Uh-huh. Tick to go into your hair. You cannot wash it, there was no place to wash it. Uh-huh. At 4 weeks we didn't wash ourselves. There was no bathroom, there was no where you can wash yourself for 4 weeks. So my father cut it off. I have long hair till my waist, cut it off. That was my first shock, because I was a teenager and I was so proud of my hair, and I take such a good care at home. My mother used to, even so I was a teenager, my mother used to wash my hair all the time. And she cut it down and they were afraid it's gonna be, we're gonna have to tick. Finally, they took us to that synagogue. There was Jewish people, children, young and old, and crying at night, walking on top of each other because we were so piled up there. One day I have an aunt there. We met there in the ghetto. They live far away from us. I never know them before, because in Europe, I was 12 years old when I first sit on the train. And we're not like here, you have money and everything. We have no money for train ticket. And this was my relatives. They bring them in. They live in Hernad, Litka. They live in Litka. They bring them in. from that town, and I never know them before. That was my mother, and listen to this, that was four generations, and Lincolnini, Reginini, Ellanini, and her daughter, four generations. They were bringing to the same ghetto from all the village around, from every facility. They bring into that chateau where we have, they bring all the Jews there, and they were packing us into each other. And I met this cousin there at the synagogue, because by then they bring them into the synagogue. So beautiful little girl, Clarica, beautiful. And Ellanini was a young woman. Her husband was not there anymore. And Lincolnini husband died, and Ellanini husband died. But that little girl, we loved her so much, and we were playing all the time with her. We were in that synagogue, and all of a sudden, one afternoon, we were there for at least 2 weeks in the synagogue to pile it up. But I can't remember what I eat, even if you kill me. I am trying to think back where my mother took the food or what I eat. I can't remember, like washed out completely. And one night, we were sleeping next to each other. Naturally, we were already sleeping next to each other. Every family was trying to close each other. My aunt, my mother aunt, and the little girl, we were all on the floor sleeping there. And one day, we heard that they were asking for Reginini. Why? Instead, my old aunt went, her daughter Elsa, she said, we belong there, we belong to her. She went with the gendarme. She was a beautiful young woman, religious naturally, you know. And she went away with the gendarme. The gendarme take her away. The little girl was screaming, mommy, mommy, mommy. The grandmother, the great-grandmother was there. They were all trying to please, to make her happy. But she was crying for mommy, mommy. Around middle of the night, she come in. Black and blue, she was black and blue. I am telling you, she don't have a place on her arm, on her face, on her body. The gendarme, they said, they find out from America, somebody sent them a package. I know who sent them, because after I talked to the aunt here, she sent the package. How the hell they get it, I don't know, because that time America were not connected with Hungary. That was already everything German. Or they were find out these people used to send them from the post office, tell somebody for the gendarme, and that's why they bring you have relatives in America. And my aunt, my Aunt Elsa, we call it aunt because everybody was old aunt, we call it. And she said, every time they were hollering, this is for your aunt in America, this is for that Jew in America. And they hit him, they almost, black and blue, till he come home, she was black and blue, she was screaming, crying. She can't sit because it was black and blue. And I see that my mother crying too, but again, I still said, how is that possible? Because they're Jews, that's why. America, and I always heard from America because my mother lived 10 years in New York when she was a young girl. She lived in New York 10 years. She and her sister, we have relatives who is still, one of them live here in Ardmore, one of the cousins, second cousin live in Ardmore. And this relative was already in America. And this relative was helping the other relative. That's why she was almost killed, because years ago she was sending them some package, and they find out the American Jews helped the Hungarian Jews. Okay? And this aunt, she was a young girl, she was a young woman. The baby was only 4 years old. She was a young woman. She looked like an old woman, broken, busted all the way. It was a horrible time. And about 2 weeks we were in that synagogue, all the Jews. And all of a sudden one afternoon said, everybody out in Hungarian language. Because the gendarme was, all the police was Hungarian. We didn't see no SS at that time, just in my town. But in the ghetto, I didn't see no SS. Only Hungarian SS police, they took it over. They were the SS, they kill us and do anything and everything. In the synagogue, I saw one, they took a child. She was a baby, the mother was breastfeeding. And the gendarme threw it to the wall and the child went to pieces and the mother was screaming. She was alive, Hoshe said it, fainted. She fainted, nobody can say nothing. In the ghetto, one day they came in and all the young girls get out and mother get out. All the women should go out to the yard. And they come, not nurses who used to be the midwife. They check them if they put in diamond over there, you know. There were girls, my two young, two aunts was the young girls, you know. And they came in Donetsk. And that's what, I was a child, but I hear what, we were inside. And all the Jewish young people have to go out, and those people went and they look at it. If they hide some diamond or jewelry. And they were crying, my poor two young aunt, she was crying. My mother was crying. And she said, we are finished. And I can't understand why is she saying we are finished, you know. I was too young to really pick it up. It's really, we are in such a bad shape. And they, 2 weeks later from the synagogue, they make us like standing in line 5 by 5. Front of us was that four generation. Second was front of us. I mean, first then, and then my cousin who was here, who's still here in Great Neck Long Island, her mm-hmm. sister, her two brother, young brother, and mother. That was five, they were five in a line. We have to stand five in a line. Men separate, right away, children and women here. So we were the children and women. My father, my brother wasn't home. My father was already on the other line, other group. And my cousin's father and the young brother, 18-year-old, was with him. They never come back. The father come back, but the young brother never come back. My father was running over from the line, and I have a kerchief, but in a fancy way to make it, because I felt I'm a teenager already. And I put it this way, and he took it off. He said to me, put it in your pocket. You should go with mother. You should look like a child. If he would only know where I would go, if I would go with my mother, if he would only know. My mother was killed right away. But when they were separating us, we were standing a line, first this four generation, then my close cousin and aunt, then we. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. My cousin was here, and this fourth generation was with us. But because the baby was in her hand, so that's why mother and I was the fifth. Mm-hmm. So my aunt, my close aunt, and this cousin of mother, and the fourth generation. But because she was carrying the baby, she don't count for fifth. So my mother and I was the fifth, growing up, one of the babies. And I still remember, I still feel in my arms, was the baying, Mengele was the baying. Where shall he put me? Because I was a tall girl, I was very, very skinny. but I was a tall girl. And he was the bank. He should throw me to work or throw me right away to the gas chamber. I didn't know it. Where? Why? I just noticed myself. I was almost falling on my two cousins' foot, back of my two cousins, and right away I was already, you know, there were two of them and me was three, and then two other girls whom we know. We made the five line, you know.
When you said you could feel it in your arm, did he have his hand on
you? He has his hand on my arm, and he was the babe. Should I throw her to work, or should I put her right away to the camp? And I still feel I was, you know, making like this. Like
swaying.
Swing. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know what he's going to do. And he make a big swing, and he throw me to work. Throw me to the work, to the side where the young girls went to work, young people went to work, mm-hmm. Women.
Now, could we stop one minute and tell me, how did you get from the ghetto to Auschwitz?
Okay. But, I forget this part, I like to forget. When we were in that synagogue, mm-hmm. They said, everybody out on the yard. Stand in line, five and five, stand in line, take your packages with you, like it was important, you know, take all the packages what you have with you. We were walking and all of a sudden we stand in line, a long line, maybe 1,000 people, and they said march in Hungarian, and you should have you should have heard, Gloria, everybody all of a sudden, Shema Yisrael, where we are going, where we marching, march. We go this way, you know. And we were walking and walking and walking. Finally, we were at the station. It was far away from the station, with the packages, everything, my poor mother. She wasn't healthy, she has her inside was out. When I was born, I came too fast, and she had a hard time, you know, even so she had operation, but still wasn't well, and carrying that big heavy thing. We went to the station, and everybody, they were pushing, throwing, hitting the backside. The people who was at the end were hitting into the cattle car. They throw us in, 86 people in one cattle car, 86 people. We hardly have room to sit. I'm not talking about laying down. Hardly have room, the packages, and us 86 people, little, old, young, everybody, men, women, everybody in that, I mean, as much as go in, 86 people. Naturally, you have to make in an hour, you have to make, especially you kid, you are a kid, where are you going to make? What would you do? There was one kibble in the middle, and right away, if somebody has to go, excuse me, we women have to take off. Men cannot make either, because everywhere was people, so they have to make, you have to make.